God loves you. Tell him he loves you even in your mess. And then you look at the other person and say, stop judging me. Hallelujah. There's only one judge. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. I'm surprised y'all didn't fall out. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We kind of asked for it. Didn't we say we wanted heaven on earth, right? I'm doing those noises so I don't have to sing. Oh, man, that was awesome. Let it just simmer for a moment. I don't want to move. So let it simmer. Let it fall upon you. Ooh, like gold dust from heaven, let it just fall upon you. Like a sweet kiss from a father that loves you. Let it fall on you with like liquid love where it just covers you. Just stay there. Some of y'all just, that's exactly what it's about. Some of y'all just need to exhale. I made it. I'm not done, but I made it. Here I am. I've made it this far. I've cried. I've been in pain. I've been struggling. But here I am, God. I've made it. I made it this far. Here I am, God. Let me exhale as you hold me for just a moment. Let me know it's going to be all okay, even when it's not all okay. I'm in your presence. Just let it simmer on you. Thank you, Jesus. His peace. You know what the Bible tells us? His peace. God's peace, it surpasses. It goes further and farther and beyond all of our comprehension, all of our understanding. It's his peace. God, we need your peace. Our world's a mess. But you're the Prince of Peace. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. I'm glad I don't look to CNN and Fox News and ABC and ABC, BBD, East Coast. Okay. I don't look to those things, God. I look to you. Right? Every once in a while, we just got to shut the noise out, fall on our knees, and just ask God, what are you doing now? When the world wants to divide, God wants to bring together. See, we're unified in Christ as one right now. We don't vote the same. We don't talk the same. We don't look we don't do the same things. We're not all perfect. You know, God wants unity, not uniformity. Come on now. He doesn't want us to make us one little cookie cutter. Like, his kingdom is a kingdom of so much diversity, so much beauty, so much wonder. Right? We don't sacrifice the word. That's not beautiful. That's sinful. Right? Don't sacrifice the word because you want to be different. We're all unified through the word. But God loves unity, not uniformity. I'm thankful we come together today. And we're all walking together seeking to go further in Jesus. I want to be one step closer to him. I want to be one step closer to him. And I just feel like this morning, and I'm going to move on in just a second. I just feel like there's weights that have been dropped off today. There's been baggage and luggage and pain. And some of y'all you've been walking. Some of y'all tired because you've been walking with such weight. You've been weighted down by the worries and the wonders and the things that you've done and the things that have been done to you. You've been weighted down. And God, I just saw this picture. It's so cool. I love when God does these things. Just follow me because they're always kind of a little bit weird because he likes me and I'm weird. So, you know, I just see like this. There's this big net, right? It's a real thin net and we're carrying it. And in the net are these boulders. Some are this big, some are really big. And we're carrying it. And I said, God, I was just about to say, God, you're going to reach in and you're going to pull it out. And he says, no, I'm not. I'm going to come behind you and I'm going to slice it and it's all just going to fall out. like all of a sudden. There's people in the house today that God all of a sudden is going to free you of your weight. And you're going to feel light and you're going to feel free. And at that moment when that happens, when God releases it, not one by one, but all in a chunk, you better give him glory and realize what he's doing in your life. That's going to be the moment that you know, I've been touched by God and he's done something. And I'm not going to go back. And I'm not going to put things, I'm not going to go back and mend that net so I can put some more stuff in. I'm going to throw it away. Amen? So somebody in the house needs to get free today. You've been carrying something. God wants to cut that. And you got to toss it. Sometimes we get free, but then we go back and we put it in ourselves. Once God sets you free, throw the net away and go the other way. Amen? All right. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Home Bible. Glad you joined us here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's the beginning of every sermon. Okay. Thank you for joining us online as well. Thank you. There's people watching all over the world. Some people have told me we have all different kinds of people in countries and places. And I am sorry, I only know English. And I'm not always the best at English, so this is what you get. Otherwise, I would also preach in other languages. So get an interpreter. You're welcome. Amen. Church, you know what I'm getting excited for? I'm getting excited for the Make Room campaign that comes here in November. It's coming real soon and real fast. And you need to start praying and asking God, God, what is it that you want me to do? How can I tangibly and prayerfully give to this campaign? Because as you can see, second service, we're packed. Right, this is what we used to be like in the first only service, but now we have two services. And some of y'all like the second service, and some of y'all like to sleep in, and that's why you're here. Praise God, I'm glad that you're here. But we need to make room. We're even running out of room in second service now. We're running out of room for what God is doing. But we also have to make room because people need to be healed, set free, and delivered. People got to hear the gospel. They got to know the truth. They need to not only hear the word of God, but apply the word of God. Because information without application, you can't have transformation. So you got to have information with an application. It'll bring transformation. And so people got to come and not only hear the word, and not only hear about God, but experience him. And when they do that, God will transform their life and they'll forever be changed. We got to make room for that. God's doing something. We have to see the hand of God on this place. And we have to say, God, what can we do that we push roadblocks out of the way to let you move better? And so there's things that are coming. The campaign's going to kick off soon, and I'm excited about that. But this morning, we're going to conclude our series, Pain to Purpose. Now, this sermon series has invited us to stop asking the question of why did this happen and start asking another question. What is God doing with it? Is anybody else sweaty? I'm sweaty. I ain't taking this coat off. This is part of the outfit. Come on. Right? I might do a few of these, though. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for deodorant. Jesus. Hallelujah. 100 years ago, we'd be stanky up in here. Okay. You know what? Some of y'all, you came in here, and this is cool. You've walked in this place carrying a weight nobody even knows about. Some of y'all were smiling on your way in the foyer, walking in the parking lot, even smiling during worship. But deep down, you're exhausted, and you're broken, and you're angry. And it feels like you have no direction to go, and you've in some ways feel hopeless. But I want to give you some good news. In Christ, you can overcome the outcome. I want to say that one more time for those who need to hear it again. In Christ, you can overcome the outcome that is in your life right now. Amen? All right, if you want to follow along in today's notes, you go to YouVersion. It's an app, a free app, a Bible app. You can get in there, go in the bottom right corner, click on more, and then you'll go down to the events, 4 or 5 down. Click on First Open Bible Church, that's us. You'll see some of the notes of today, and then you can click in the top right, save, and you'll want to do that. Otherwise, these notes will go away in just a few days. You can also write your own notes and make sure you hit save as well so you can come back to this. And let God to speak to you further than just this morning. And you can come back to what God is saying. You know, in Jesus, pain does not have the final word. Death does not have the final word. Trauma does not have the final word. Shame does not have the final word. Our Savior has the final word. See, with Jesus in your life, nothing is wasted. We all have a common denominator in life. It's called pain. Saved, unsaved, soon to be saved, fallen away from God. Everybody, we all have pain. You know, we experience valleys and some moments in our life feel impossible to climb out of. But what if you had a clear path and a guide to help you move through your valley in a healthy and an intentional way? What if you could avoid the common pitfalls that keep so many people stuck and come out on the other side with a fiery faith and a renewed purpose? First Open Bible can help you with that. Amen? Praise God. You're excited. Come on. You are four rows too far. I need you to move up to the front. You can take my seat if you want. Come on, girl. Amen. I need you. Some of you say, man, it's really loud in church. There's not enough reverence in here. Well, no, we reverence the Lord, but this is not a library. This is not a museum. Ooh, some churches, there's a museum. They ain't nothing but stone. Come on now. Stone temples and stone idols that people worship. No, this is the house of God, and we give him reverence. We give him glory and honor, but we're also excited. We're also thankful. And the Bible tells us when we can worship like the book of Psalms says, with dancing and clapping and cymbals and music and laying before him and kneeling and clapping and hands raised, hands down, whatever, right? We want to express what God is doing or that he's about to do. And that's why I love what we do here at First Open Bible. If it's too loud and too busy for you, the back row is open and available. Amen. Back row, you know I love you, back row. Come on. Hey, buddy. My son's in the back there taking videos and pictures, probably playing games. You're grounded. Okay. You listen to this, son. You know what? I'm excited to officially announce the Pain to Purpose Ministry course. Amen. What is it? Right, we've announced multiple times. Hey, we're going to tell you. And then we're like, psych. No, we're not telling you. We'll tell you next week. We're finally at the very end, and now we're going to tell you today. It's an 11-week life-changing journey designed to help you heal, rebuild, and make a godly plan for your future. When does it start? It's going to start Wednesday, November 5th. Where's it going to be? It's going to be right here in the sanctuary during the family night. What is family night? It's every Wednesday from 6:30 to 8. We have kids ministry, we have youth ministry, and we're also going to continue our adult Bible study in the community room and keep going through books or chapters and books of the Bible. Winter signups, today they start. Today. They're on our app, our website, and you can call the church office if you have any more questions. How much does it cost? $25 a person. What does that get me? Snacks. No, just joking. We don't have snacks. Don't you eat in here. Don't you eat in here. Okay, moving on. Includes all course material, your personal workbook, and teaching. You must purchase this to attend. Now, if you need help with the money, call the church office. We'd love to talk to you. Now, in this Pain to Purpose Ministry course, we will learn how to remove the debris left behind from crisis, repair the broken pieces of your life's story, rebuild a solid foundation of faith and identity, move forward with a renewed purpose. Now, my wife Sarah and Sherry, our office manager, along with some other leadership, including myself, about a year ago, we went to this seminar for leaders, and it sparked this deep passion to help people heal in this specific way. Since then, Sarah and Sherry, they've taken the lead and have taken many hours of training, and they've also poured into training our summit leaders. That's like our small group leaders, the main leaders of this ministry. And all these summit leaders have walked through some deep valleys themselves. When you visit the landing page online to register, you can read more about their stories. These amazing leaders have hearts to walk alongside you and the community, helping turn pain into purpose and guiding you on your journey. Now, you can register now through the QR code. Some of you guys got a paper on your way in, and you can scan that if you don't know a QR code. Like I said, it looks like a box. It looks like a little picture of a really sick giraffe. That's what it looks like, and they're all different. And so just a little picture of it. But you can put your camera over it, and you just kind of hover over the little small picture of a side of a giraffe, and then you put it right there. See, now you'll never think about it the same. So you just put it there, and then there's going to be a highlight on the bottom of your camera, and then you'll just press that, and it'll take you right to the website. And we want you to do that later so you can keep listening. But that's the way you can do it. Amen. Somebody's laughing because you were doing it right now. You just got called out. Hallelujah. All right. We've got people over there looking. They're looking. Point out, who was it? Josh, who was it? He's, I don't know. I wasn't even listening. I don't know. Moving on. But you can scan that. And if you need more help, call the church office for help. That would be awesome. So, before we get into a very short sermon, here's what we're going to do. I want us to hear right now, about 10 minutes long, two of our summit leaders about how this ministry course has personally impacted their life. Maurice and Brad, will you start coming up? They're going to both share. Can you give them a hand as they come? Amen. Maurice has got swag. He's like, I'm going to come when I come. Here you go, brother. Okay, I'm going to sit right here.
Good morning, church. I want to start off by giving glory and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Harris and First Lady Sarah. I want to thank Sister Sherry Pfeiffer for listening to the Holy Spirit and bringing this ministry here to First Open Bible and our church here. My name is Maurice Martin. Excuse me. My name is Maurice Martin. I'm 44 years old. And my testimony starts with, I was born in Peoria, Illinois. I moved here to Iowa when I was 2 years old, and coming up, I didn't know it, but in my life, I was comfortable in dysfunction. I didn't know it at the time. Coming up, I didn't have godly men in my life. I didn't have godly examples of how to be a man in my life. And so that fueled the person that I am right now, ultimately. I was born to teenage parents. My mom and dad were 15, 16 years old when they had me. Coming up, I had a stint, a little small part of molestation happened in my life. Molestation in my life, which fueled a desire that a young person shouldn't have. Ultimately, leading up to me being a young parent myself, I lost my virginity at a young age. I had my first kid at 16 years old myself. And my father was never around. I didn't know him. I didn't meet my father until I was 21 years old. And when I met him for the first time, I already had a kid. So when I met him, I told him that for myself, we were kind of past the father-son relationship part. But if he wanted to know his grandchildren, he could be in their lives. And shortly after I met my father, he passed away due to health issues and heavy drug use, which was prevalent in my family. Like, it was normal. Everybody smoked and drank. And as I said, it was just dysfunction and wasn't very godly in our household. And so I gradually went down the same road, made some of the same mistakes my parents made. But the turning point was when I became a father at a young age. I made a decision and I told my wife now that she didn't have to raise a child on her own. And so it was important for me to step up and take care of my responsibility for my children and be the example in their lives. And through all of that, I could say I wasn't a bad father. I just didn't have godly examples in my life. And so in return, they didn't see a godly example. And well, my oldest didn't see a godly example in our home until the Lord seek me out and found me and saved me, redeemed me. I received his blood that he shed on the cross for me. I received his grace. And I think the turning point, another turning point was when I stopped living in sin and decided to get married. From there, everything kind of fell in place. The Lord started making a way out for me. And Pastor Sarah, she says, and we know that God doesn't make any mistakes. So I wasn't thinking about this pain to purpose class. I actually was coming one night for Bible study on Revelations, and I got pulled out of Bible study to come downstairs for a class. And I had no idea about it, so I was just obedient. I told myself I'd be obedient to what the Lord placed in front of me. So I stepped in this class, and it happened to be this pain to purpose class. Well, through this class, it forced me to go back and open up some doors that I closed that I didn't want to think about in my past, but it led me to revisit them. And I definitely was trying not to do this pain to purpose class just because I didn't want to have to open up certain parts of my life to people. And it just helped me to be vulnerable. It put me in a safe space, though, with people that I could share with, and that would help me out in this situation. And so I was just obedient to what God wanted me to do. And through that, the enemy, well, he was really fighting me on opening this door and being here right now doing this, because this is really not me speaking in front of people, so and especially telling them the worst parts of my life. But I know that everything is for a reason, and that is exactly why I was supposed to be doing this class, giving my testimony to help somebody else out. So this gives me an opportunity to share my story, to be an example, and also to be able to help somebody else through the struggles in their life, especially to our young men in this community and around me, to show them a godly example and what God is able to do in your life if we just release everything to him and to live for him. And so that's just a small part of my testimony and what this Pain to Purpose class has done for me. And I just look forward to what this Pain to Purpose class is going to do for this church and as well as other churches in our city. So that's my time, and I'll turn it over to Brother Brad so he can tell you about him.
Thank you, Maurice. Thanks, Maurice. Yeah, my name is Brad Grothaus, and I'm excited to share a little bit about the Pain to Purpose program, you know, that we went through a few months ago. The Lord gave me a verse last night, and I want to share it with you, Jeremiah 29:11, and it's a real well-known verse, but really think about it and listen to it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And sometimes it's so easy to, like, I hear it all the time, it's, you know, everywhere, but let that really set and sink in. God's talking to you through that. Here's my story. About 11 years ago, my wife of 19 years passed away from taking her own life. She committed suicide. And in a moment, I became a widower, a single dad to 15 children, feeling lost and hopeless. In a moment, just like that, on the front porch of my house. But God was faithful, and he is faithful. And through a great community that I had around me and through the love of other people, he turned my pain into purpose. He really did. And God is faithful. And you know what? Today, I'll tell you who I am. Well, first of all, I'm a son of the king. That's who I am. I'm married to my wife, Rebecca, of 8 years. He's brought her into my life. She's such a blessing. God transformed me into a new man. I'm not the same person today that I was before. He changed me for the better. It was not easy. It's hard work, but God did it. And now I have an opportunity to use my story to help other people. You know, I work at a large Fortune 500 company, and I've had men come into my office, close the door. We've prayed together. We've cried together. Because they're walking through something similar to what I did. And because we went through a similar thing, I can understand what they're going through a little bit better. And God uses that to minister to other people, to help other people. So here's a few key things that God showed me from going through the class with Maurice and I. First of all, Pastor said it every single week that he's spoken, so I hope you heard it. But the first thing is, why is not the right question? What is God doing? This is the right question. Number two, and this one's hard, how to forgive other people who have hurt us in deep and painful ways, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But how do you forgive that person? And finally, we can't stay where we are, right? Like, so often, your pain just becomes comfortable. It becomes normal. It's not normal. It's not normal, but it feels normal because I've had it my whole life. I've always felt this way. But we have to be willing to move forward. You know, as we, at these this class, they're called 10 waypoints that we go through, the 10 with introduction and then 10 lessons that we walk through together. And they're called waypoints. And the idea, you can see the graphic, it's like we're climbing a mountain, right? And if you ever have the desire, I personally don't, to go climb Mount Everest, the highest peak in the world. There are people there who live there. They grew up there. They're called Sherpas. That's a cool word to say. Work that into your sermon, Pastor. But a Sherpa is somebody who shows you the path. Like, they walk with you. They help carry your luggage. They help carry your load. And they show you every step, where to go, where not to go. They help you avoid the pitfalls in the path. And we get the privilege, along with a few other of the team members, to be that with you. We get to walk with you through this path. So we're super excited for Pain to Purpose. We really know that God's going to do an amazing work through it. And so we just encourage you to get signed up.
Come on. That's good. Thank you, men. Brad, if you get cold, you just put on a Sherpa. That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, that's cool. Sounds like a sweater or something. Amen. Thank you both. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for allowing God to move in and through your life, and also what God is going to do in this ministry as you help lead. So I very much appreciate that. So to close out this series, I'm going to preach a very short sermon. Oh, you thought I was not going to preach. Yeah, right. Okay. God's giving me a word. I got to preach a word. Amen. But it all ties together. Because if you listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking, and you can hear what he's saying, and you can go his way. There's three simple but powerful foundational steps I want to preach about moving us from pain into purpose. And number one is this: realization. If you open to John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you can open up there, it's in the New Testament. And you'd think that Old Testament, New Testament would be like halvesies. It's not halvesies, right? You open it up, you're still in the Old Testament. There's a lot more pages of the Old Testament than there is the New Testament. But once you get there, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're called the Gospels. John, and a lot of times the books that are titled, is the person that wrote it. Not always, But a lot of them, and this one is like that. John wrote this book, and he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he was really close to him. And it's a great book to read if you want to know the love of God. Read the book of John. But we're going to read in chapter 11 about this incredible part of our history, a story that took place, and you can follow along with me. And it starts with this. There's a family that's in pain. Lazarus was sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they were overwhelmed. And they sent word to Jesus. In verse 3, it says this, "Lord, the one you love is sick. Your friend is not doing well. He needs something, or it could go really bad." But you know, this story isn't just about a man who was physically sick. It's a story about a deeper truth, that you and I, we are spiritually sick. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin, what we do with sin, is death. Our sin is so sickly, it kills us. And I'm not just talking about physical, because a lot of times it can be physical and you can die. I'm talking about an eternal death, way worse than just dying once, over and over and over again. Sin is a sickness you can't cure. You can't work it off. You can't cover it with religion. You can't heal it. And you cannot cure sin by yourself. So Martha and Mary were overwhelmed by a sickness around them that they could not heal. And maybe you know what that feels like, being overwhelmed by something beyond your power, to feel helpless while things around you feel like they're falling apart. Next, we see this crazy thing that Jesus does that maybe we wouldn't have done, or we would have told Jesus maybe he should have done it differently. Read the next verse, John 11, verse 4. It says, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death.'" His sickness, come on somebody, in your life will not be your death. And then he says this, "No, it happened for the glory of God." No, this happened. That happened in your life for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may receive glory from this. And check out the two next verses, 5 and 6. "So although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days." Wait, what? Because he loved them and he still loved them, he waited? Now that doesn't make sense to us. But listen to this. Delay is not denial. Waiting is not abandonment. And silence is not absence. Here's the realization. Life is broken because we live in a fallen world and we have fallen, broken bodies. You know, there's disease and pain and hurt and strife and tragedy. And they are all because of the fallout of sin. But the greatest act of love is this. When God brings us to a point in our life where we realize this very important thing, we realize we need to be rescued. We need to be healed. We need a Savior. We get to a spot where we say, "God, help me." Here's the first step of pain into purpose. It's realizing I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. Number two is this, response. When life gets painful, we respond in some way. I got a list of 4 different responses. Potential responses. If we have pain in our life, we respond with rejection, reason, or relief, or maybe even religion. Number one is this, rejection. The disciples said in verse 8, "Jesus, don't go back there. They try to stone you. Why would you go back to somewhere where you're not included or they don't like you?" See, rejection is real. Anybody ever been in junior high before? "She don't love me. She don't love me. I laid it all out there. I wrote this note and I handed it to her. Yes or no?" And she said no. Remember that? I don't know if kids do that anymore. Now it's like text. "Yeah, you want to hang out?" Like, they don't even know how to date. It's like, you talk. You look them in the eyes. You have a conversation. Try it. Like, "Oh, look, there's a human. Crazy. When did you get there?" You know, just for fun, every once in a while, when everybody's texting and I have their number, I just text them and I'm sitting right by them. It's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" They look up, they're like, "Come on." I'm like, "Get off your phone." Anyway. But rejection is real. And our sin rejected Jesus. our rejection of him, our sin, it nailed Jesus to the cross. But here's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus willingly walked into rejection so we could walk into the resurrection. Every other religion on earth says suffer to get to God, but Christianity says God suffered to get to us. Even if you've rejected him your whole life, I want to tell you something today. He's pursuing you even right now. All right, number two is this, a reason. Another way that we deal with pain is we reason. We try to say, man, that don't make sense to me. And since that doesn't make sense to me, then I can't have faith in that. I got a reason. There's got to be a reason why this happened. There's got to be a reason why I'm going through this. And guess what? You're going to miss it by a foot because you're always in your head and you're not allowing the Spirit of God to speak through you through faith to try to understand his ways without always comprehending how he's doing it. Come on now. Preaching now. I don't even got time to preach, but I'm preaching anyway. Amen. But it's true. We try to reason. The disciples didn't always understand what Jesus was doing. And Jesus said over there every once in a while going, right? Come on. I mean, how many times did God probably do that to us too? It's like, come on, you got to get it. But we try to reason. And maybe you've asked these reason questions before. Where were you, God, when my marriage ended? Where were you, God, when I had a miscarriage? Where were you, God, when my business collapsed? Where were you when my family fell apart? Where were you when I needed you? Where were you, God? Now, we don't always get an explanation. We don't always get all the answers. But you know what we do get? We do get Jesus. When we can't always trace his hand, we can, church, trust his heart. Here's another one, relief. Another way that we deal with pain in life is through relief. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Decay has already set in. Mary had already given up all hope. The guy's dead. My brother's dead. Your friend is dead. There's no hope. It's all done. You know what? Sometimes we're like Mary. When we lose hope, we look for relief. You know where we look for it? We look for it in alcohol. We look for it in drugs. We look for it in ungodly relationships. We look for it trying to control our life. We look for it in addictions. We sometimes look for it in our kids, and we look for it in our careers. By the way, there's a marriage out here that you need to hear this. Your kids are not the top priority. Your spouse is. If you put your kids above of your spouse, you need to stop immediately or your marriage will crumble. Because once those kids leave, and they should leave, get them out of your basement. For real, like make them grow up. Just, here's $50. Go get somewhere. Go do something with your life. Anyway, but for real, like you're supposed to raise them up to send them out anyway. But somebody in the house today, you've been raising your kids above your spouse. They need to get in the proper position. You're not blessed in your home because you're not in alignment. God is here. The man is here. The wife is here. And the children are below. And you together, husband and wife. Right? And somebody in here too. You need to become husband and wife. Quit shacking up. That's sin. Okay? Move on. Put a ring on it. I know you like it. Put a ring on it. Okay? Anyway. Okay. Okay. That was me. That was for you. Hallelujah. Because I love you. It's true. But you got to get in alignment. Okay? Sometimes in our life, we seek relief instead of we seek Christ. But hear me this, temporary relief will never bring resurrection power into your life. You can numb the pain all you want, but you will never heal it that way. Only Jesus can turn a grave into a garden. And here's another one. Religion. Come on. Oh, got quiet. Huh? Religious demons in here, huh? Okay. Religion. Martha gives Jesus the churchy religious answer in verse 24. Yes, Jesus, Lazarus will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. You know, religion has all the right answers, but religion has no power. Hey, guess what, Martha? How about Lazarus rising today? Religion will lead to exhaustion. Always trying to do the right thing all the time. You know how you do the right thing? You know how you get closer to God? You love him more. Love him more than your sin. But Jesus in verse 25, he says this, I am the resurrection, I am the life, and the only one, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And then verse 26 is probably the most important question and most important verse you can ask yourself every single day. You got to read it later. Church, you don't need religion, you need resurrection power. You know, religion informs you, but Jesus will transform you. You must start living like he is alive. All right, point three. See how I'm doing this? You're like, Pastor, why do you do this every week? I'm going to be here so long. Okay. I said it for you. You're welcome. Three, resurrection. Now comes the climax of this story, of this historical account that happened. Jesus tells them to roll away the stone. You see in verse 39, Martha protests, Lord, it's been 4 days. The smell's going to be terrible. That's real. Isn't that just like us, though? We want the resurrection, but we don't want to deal with the stench. We don't want to deal with the mess. We want all the good things of God, but we never want to deal with the mess of our own life. Too many people pointing fingers, look in a mirror and ask God, is there any wicked way in me? Is there any wicked way in me? Oh, Lord, reveal it. I love this. But then Jesus, in verse 40, next verse, didn't I tell you? Don't you love that? Sounds like a mama, right? Didn't I tell you? My mama's right there. Ready to say it, mama? Didn't I tell you? I can just feel it. Okay, this is scary. Didn't I tell you? Woo! Jesus says, didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? Then he prays and he calls out in a shout, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, still wrapped in grave clothes, but he was alive. Church, Jesus doesn't make bad people good. No, Jesus makes dead people alive. Come, come alive! Come. Wait, is Damu still here? Where's he at? Come on, ready? That's your dance move. I got that from you over there. I was like, oh, I'm going to do that too. Come on. I loved it. I love it. I'm stealing it. It's part of me now. It's part of me. I love you. He does it better, though. I need more experience. I'm going to work on it. But it's true. Jesus makes dead people alive. Jesus makes people like Maurice and Brad into men of God who live free. He takes their pain. He gives it purpose. Dead things in the hands of God come to life. Worship team, can you please come up? All right, we got a few groups of people that are listening right now. Here's the first group. It's the group of the unsaved. Maybe you've never surrendered your life completely to Christ. And you say, you know what, I have. You know how you know? You know how you know if you've surrendered your life to Jesus? There's fruit in your life that Jesus exists. If you got no fruit, maybe you're dead. Dead trees have no fruit. Living trees that have been nurtured and taken care of from the gardener, come on now, they have no choice but to have great fruit. They produce. Maybe somebody here today, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've been living spiritually dead like Lazarus in the tomb. Today, Jesus is calling you by name right now. He's saying, come out! Come out! Today can be the day that you step into new life. New life. Maybe that's you today. You're spiritually dead. But today, the good news is this. Jesus is calling you by name right now. Listen, if he can call a dead man out of a tomb, he can call you out of whatever has been burying you. Here's another group of people that are in the house and watching online. There's another group. It's the saved, but the stuck. You know Jesus, but you've been living like you're still in grave clothes. You're saved, but you're bound. You're bound by shame. You're bound by cycles, bound by hurts, bound by trauma. And today Jesus is saying, take off the grave clothes and let them go. Let them go. It's time to live like Jesus is alive. And there's a third group. It's This is the group that's hiding deep pain, burying it, covering it. It's the ones that have deep grief and wounds and trauma. You've been walking with a limp and you've been hiding it. And today the Lord is saying, bring it to me, lay it down, let me turn it into purpose. Church, don't hide what Jesus wants to heal. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. Okay? And when I do that, if you need salvation, you need rededication, or you want God to touch your broken life in the places that you've been hiding things, or you need him to touch you in a supernatural way, I want you to lift your hand on three. Okay? I don't want you to hesitate. Don't wait. Don't let shame keep burying you. You ready? Here we go. One, Jesus loves you. Two, your pain does not have the final word. Three, lift your hand now. So here I am. Heal me. Now I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my pain, my shame, my sin, and my past. I believe that you died and rose again so I could have life. Today, I say yes to you. Forgive me. Change me. Make me new. From this day forward, I belong to you. I am now giving my pain to you. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, will you please stand? Now listen, if you raised your hand, or you're carrying hurts and trauma and pain, if you need God to heal you, the altar's open. And we have people, prayer teams, will you come and get on the side? Pain to Purpose Summit leaders, will you also join them to help pray? These people are here to believe with you. These people are here to declare life over you. They're here to lead you in prayers of healing. Don't stay in your seat when God is calling you out of the tomb. You have to step out, come forward, and receive prayer. Because with Jesus, church, nothing's wasted. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We trust you. We lay this in your hands. I'm tired of not living completely free. We give it to you. God, I'm thankful for your word. It says this: if we confess our sins to one another, you are righteous and faithful to heal us, to set us free, deliver us, make us whole. So we come today, and there's a spot open at the altar for prayer, and there's a spot with these people ready to pray. So everybody who comes, may there be an agreement in heaven and here on earth. And we pray for a breakthrough in Jesus' name. We love you. We trust you. Amen. Amen.